Folks, it's fantastic to be here again today. And Mo is with me. So thank you. Mike, did you say sun cream? Well, why I picked it up, because when I was listening to the advertisement about your trip down to wherever, and I thought, it's over for me, best of British to you. And then I heard this guy say, sun cream, and then I was provoked in my spirit. So seriously, you're capable through prayer of changing the weather. That's the first thing I want to say, because God can do anything. So I make a confession. I shouldn't have said best of British to you. And then so I repent of that, and I'd say, seriously, God can do the most incredible things. And for those of you who'll be here next Sunday, I've gone through it many times. The reality is, less people, and you think, will it be as good? Listen, God will be here next week. Who's doing the preaching here next week? Where is he? Is he here? Right. Well, somebody tell Paul, prepare well, preach big, expect big, and pray for visitors. Those of you who are left, pray for visitors. It's just about that sort of thing. Have you enjoyed me saying that? Then I want to bring a correction. I don't know who is responsible for it, but you know who you are. My surname is not spelt D-A-V-I-S. It is spelt D-A-V-I-E-S. To a Welshman, that's more important than my marriage, whatever. So I don't know who you are that needs to repent. I don't want to know. Anyway, there we are. I've got that off my chest. Yesterday, I was speaking on the phone to a guy I know very well, and he said to me as we were talking, are you preaching anywhere tomorrow? And I said, yes, Shepparton. He's never been here, but he knows Shepparton. And I said, yes. And then he immediately said, what are you preaching on? And I said, Zacchaeus. And he said this to me, or asked me, can you get anything new out of Zacchaeus? And when I put the phone down, I told Mo. And Mo said to me, what's wrong with the guy? That's the wrong question. The right question is, what did God say to you? So if you know the story of Zacchaeus so well, the big question for you and for me is, at the end of the day, what did God say to us? And then I add another question, and what are you going to do about it? Because life's about trusting and obeying. That's the only way. So I'm going to read from Luke 19. Is there any possibility of getting the reading on the screen, please? And could we keep it up there and move it along as I preach? Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to go through verse by verse. Now, I noticed some of you didn't, you declined to take Bibles when you're offered. That's fine. But hang in with either on your iPhone, iPad, other type of tablet, or on the screen behind me. Just so very good to be here. It's a great privilege to talk about God, is it not? I must get something else off my chest. You see, wherever I go preaching, I think congregations are quite quiet. Now, I hear this sort of thing. Preachers can be boring. Now, has it ever occurred to you that congregations can be boring? Right? And there was good stuff coming from the platform today, and it's met in almost total silence. You know, about worship of God, you should be hollering, bawling, yes, God. I know perhaps that's not the English way, but it's about God, huge truths. are coming out. We want to say, God, this is magnificent. Here we go. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. By the way, the central person in this incident is not Zacchaeus, it is Jesus. Although I'll say a lot about Zacchaeus, but the central person is Jesus. Have you got that, guys? Central person. A man by the name of Zacchaeus, he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." You'll feel comfortable with that, won't you? Okay, we're all sinners. There's only two categories of people in this room at the moment, and it's not Welsh or English or whatever. It's a sinner who's not been saved by grace, or it's a sinner who has been saved by grace. True? That's not the category in the context of this. So these people muttering, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I'm going to take you through it verse by verse. Verse 1. Jesus enters Jericho. Application immediately. Jesus is always entering our space. Jesus is entering your space now. He entered it when you were in bed this morning. He entered it as you got up out of bed this morning. He entered it as you had breakfast, unless you were too late and didn't have a chance to have breakfast. And he's entering our space now. So he's here now. And I want to say this. Whatever Jesus did for Zacchaeus, Jesus is capable of doing for you and for me. I did pick up what you were saying about life's a bit of a challenge. Andy said it. And when you wolf whistled, I nearly said one man's meat is another man's poison. And then I suddenly realized you'd wolf whistled your wife, so that don't say it, don't say it. Listen, let me just say this about, you know, the prophetic word and the comment that times can be tough, and do we understand? Listen, the Bible says this, and it comes from Psalm 18, verse 28. The psalmist says this: "God changes my darkness into light." And we might not understand things, but I'm telling you, God is in the business of taking our darkness away and giving us light. And we'll have a lot of understanding today, long before we get to heaven. I'm not negating what you're saying. I'm just saying, listen, we can know a lot more than we do about understanding what God's doing in our lifetime. Thank you. So, Jesus is entering Zacchaeus' space. Zacchaeus doesn't quite understand it. Zacchaeus thinks he's entering Jesus' space. Well, let's have a look at Zacchaeus. It says, a man. Now, in the Authorized Version, if you're into Authorized Version, King James Version, version of the Bible, it says, "Behold a man." Now, whenever the Authorized Version says, "Behold," it is because there is something fabulous, powerful, exciting following. But it doesn't say that in the, well, in the NIV that I'm reading. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, let me talk to you about Zacchaeus. He was a nasty bit of goods. Don't just think, oh, Zacchaeus, he's a short fellow and he's going to run and get up a tree. Listen, he was a nasty bit of goods. And I tell you why. Because he worked for the Roman occupying forces. And the Jews absolutely hated the Romans. In the end, the Jews destroyed themselves because they took on the Romans, and the Romans were stronger, and the Romans were almost annihilating them. And the second temple in AD 70 was burnt to the ground because the Jews, in their hatred for the Romans, and you can have an understanding of this, they took them on and lost. So, he is working for the occupying forces. Now, if you find that hard to understand, let me give you an illustration. Second World War, end of the war in France. France had been run by the Nazis and overrun by the Nazis. But when the war was over, I'm telling you, any Frenchman who just volunteered to work for the Germans, many were forced to. They were summarily shot. And women who'd had liaison with the Germans, had affairs with the Germans, they had their heads shaved, they were stripped naked, and they were paraded down the streets, and down the streets of Paris, because the French were absolutely hated the occupying forces. This man was one of these guys who collaborated. He was a nasty bit of goods. But he was a nasty bit of goods because he was a tax collector. I'm not saying all tax collectors are nasty bit of goods, but this guy was, and he was nasty because he was high up in the chain. He was the chief collector. So he got the people under him to pick up the taxes. I don't know. I should have done my history on this, but I don't know what taxes they had to pay, but all we do know that the tax collectors extorted a cut above what they had to pay. And they took a big cut because they knew that Zacchaeus wasn't to take his cut. So he was a greedy old so-and-so. He was wealthy. And you might say, you're going to be greedy to be wealthy. Let me say this. Take great care how you view the wealthy. Now, the Bible says that it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. Or it's easier to go through the eye of a needle, rather, than for a rich man to be saved. And you would say, yeah. And so, see, Zacchaeus, he didn't stand a dog's chance of getting to know God and being changed by the God's power. But And what I say about take care about the wealthy, because our temptation is to fall to the rich. Our temptation is to be envious of the rich. Our temptation is to look at the rich and think, ooh, they live in a big house. He must be earning a packet. That's how people talk, isn't it? Yes or no? You are alive, are you? Our temptation is to just be jealous of them. Look at the car they're driving. Look at the house they live in. Look at the clothes. Look at the holidays. And two holidays in the sun. And some gone three and done it. Listen, James says, don't fawn to the rich. You know, James, well, the Apostle James, when he's writing his letter, he's saying, when you welcome people into church, don't give the rich a special welcome. Listen to this. He says, because it's the rich who take you to court. It's the rich that exploit you. It's amazing. It's the rich that cause you great trouble. So we've got to be really careful how we look at the rich. Just don't envy them. But, you know, you say, they deserve what they're getting. Well, let me tell you this. The Bible also says, with God, nothing is impossible. Because when Jesus told his disciples, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven, Jesus also, and when Peter said, well, what hope have they got? Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. Now, what happens to this man? Oh, yes, something else about this man. I'm going to use a very hard word because I want you to listen. He's a waster. Now, I don't look at people actually and think he's a waster. But this guy was wasting his life. And I'll tell you why. Any part of our lives that God isn't in is an absolute waste of time. Sin is a waste of time. And so, you can be right in your relationship with God in one area and wrong in another. And where you're wrong in another area of your life, it's a waste of time, because any part of our life that excludes God is a waste of time. And this man has wasted his time. He's wasted his time in being greedy. He's wasted his time in thieving. He's wasted his time in exploiting people, the rich and the poor. He is wasting his life. Now, you may say, oh yes, I look at people and I know they're wasters. And then we often think about people on drugs. What a waste of their intelligence, all right? What a waste of their lives. And then there are people, I know them very closely, who are absolutely hooked on gambling. And I think of one man, he's lost his job, and you think, it's terrible. You can say, what a waste of his life. And whether you believe this or not, because it's not popular in public domain these days, if you're immoral and you've got immoral liaisons, it's an utter waste of time. You may say, no, it wasn't. It was brilliant in bed last night. But I'm telling you, it's a waste of time. Can all sins a waste of time? But I want to say this. You can waste your time by being envious. You can waste your time by being bitter. You can waste your time by being unforgiving. You can waste your time by having a critical spirit and just sounding off with people. You can waste your time, and so can I, by being in the wrong relationships. There's hordes of ways in which we can waste the time. Are you listening to this, guys? You've got the world before you, and girls, well, conclusion. Listen, you've got the world at your feet. Listen, for God's sake, for your sake, don't waste your time and your life by making the wrong choices. We're looking at a guy called Zacchaeus. He's making the wrong choices. I'm an intelligent guy and so on. But there's an area of his life that's absolutely undermining him. He's wasting his time. So there are many ways you can waste your time. What verse was that? Two, thank you. Who said one? Who on earth said one? Darling, now listen. Are you listening, or are you thinking, I hope it's going to be dry next weekend? Are you going next weekend? You are? Okay. I know you are. I won't mention you, because I don't want you on that tape. That's a lie. Right, verse 3. He wants to see who Jesus was, because he's short. Now, just look at me. I have great sympathy for Zacchaeus. Right? You know, by the way, when I get to heaven, now, Andy, I don't know the questions I am allowed to ask. If I'm ever allowed to ask a question when I get to heaven, I don't know. But I'm going to luxuriate and think, I'd like to ask two questions. And the first one is the big question. Why, God, did you make women so difficult to understand? Right? Guys, when you choose woman, just find someone who's not difficult to understand. And the second question I'm going to ask God is this. Why was I at the back of the queue when the long legs were being given out? Right? So I look at Zacchaeus and I think, poor old beggar. But it's just interesting. He wanted to see who Jesus was. So let me ask you this. What do you think his motives were? What do you think Zacchaeus' motives were? Curious? Any other questions? No prizes? I won't embarrass you if I think that's a dumb, dumb answer. Yes?
Jealous.
Yes? Lonely? Yep.
Knew
something was wrong. That's an interesting one. Sorry, that's an instructive one. Knew something was wrong. He might have been thinking, when I get back to the office at lunchtime, I really want to be ahead of the game. I want to be able to be in on the conversation. It's terrible when you're not in the, when you don't know what's going on. You ever find that? About it. I think, what were his motives? But I want to ask you another question. What do you think his motivation was? Now, I'm always careful to talk about motivation because only the Spirit of God knows what's in our spirit. The Bible says that. But I want to say this. I believe the motivation was this, that God was already on his case. You were saying about he knew there was something wrong. Listen, the brilliant thing is this. Before we think about God, God is always thinking about us. If you can bear with me, I'm going to read you from Isaiah 65. Bear, because I've got to find it first. Please, God, help me find it quickly, that they think I'm smart. Isaiah 65, right. I want to read this to you, because this is, these things are so important. Just listen to this. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am. All day long, I'm holding out my hands to you. And I want to declare this, that we might think, here is Zacchaeus. I mean, he's the center of this. Listen, God's already in his life and on his case. God's already speaking to him. God's already revealing to him the sheer, irreversible attractiveness of Jesus. It's incredible. And that has great application when we think of winning the lost. We think, oh, it's hard round here. I want to tell you, God is already on the move in lives of people that haven't awoken to the fact. And that's why you are here, and that's why I am here, because that happened to you and it happened to me. You know, I listen to people who get baptized and they say, I decided for Christ. I'm desperate to stand up and say, you didn't. God first decided for you, and then you came running. Eventually. Eventually, it was eventually. Even if you're baptized at the age of 12, it's still eventually, because God will have been speaking years before that. And the motivation is this, on the basis of other parts of the Bible, let me give you another one from Ephesians. Whilst you were dead in trespasses and sins, Christ died for you. So here is this man. He's motivated by what? Much more than I want to talk to guys in the office with a bit of understanding or I'm curious. It's this. There's something that he can't help going. He might be thinking, I'm short, I'm desperate to see him. I've got to shin up a tree. Well, it's much bigger issue than that. That is why I can say next week, when there's fewer of you here and it's a holiday Sunday, for goodness sake, one, don't think, oh, I won't go, or it's only him preaching, I won't come. Listen, think, God's going to be here, and he's going to be on the cases of people, and he's going to be sending visitors. Because that's God. It's called the sovereignty of God. I have a coin in my back pocket. Some of you will say, oh, I have £50 in mine. I'm talking metaphorically. And the coin has two sides. On the one side are four letters, the sovereignty of God. On the other side are two letters, human responsibility. But at this point, I'm thinking of the coin, side of the coin which says, the sovereignty of God. God is all over this story. And God is all over Zacchaeus. You should be cheering. It gives us confidence, doesn't it? It gives us confidence in this way. Well, it's not as much about me as I realize. It's about Almighty God. And it's about His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's about His Holy Spirit. But he wants to see Jesus. Nobody in the natural wants to see Jesus. Do you know why? Because in the natural, we're dead to God. But he wants to see Jesus because God is doing something deep within him. So, what does he do? Verse 4. He runs and climbs a sycamore tree. Now, one comment I'll make about that. See, you know, we think in pictures according to our understanding. So I'm thinking of him as a city gent in pinstripe clothes, swinging an umbrella and a bowler, and he's been going to the office because he's a top dog in the taxation office. But then he's sprinting along the street. Listen to me. He's sprinting along the street. He's shitting up a tree. He's not worrying about, will I get any green on my trousers? And what on earth will my wife save me when I get home? He has ditched dignity. And I want to say, we don't often get big encounters with God because we're not willing to ditch dignity. That is why, actually, we don't shout out in church so much. Because there's something in our culture, well, it's not dignified. You can shout out at a rugby match or a football match, or you can go, ah, the Oval Test match, please let it rain to save us. And I can't bear to watch the rubbish at the moment. But listen, this man is ditching his dignity. Ditch yours. Ben Davis, ditch yours. Ditch your dignity. Don't matter how old, how young. I don't care what your job is. I don't care what your standing in society. I am urging you today, and keep on doing it, ditch your dignity if you want to have major life-changing encounters with a God who can empower us. Don't fall for what the man in the streets wants the church to be like. The man in the street generally wants the church to be like them, dead. I'm not against them, I love them. I'm just being a bit honest to you. What verse are we on, darling? Verse 5. Sorry. Is that your wife? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that. I did. Right, look at verse 5. When Jesus reaches the spot, he looks up and he talks to him. Here's my question. Let's back up. Jesus is always willing to talk to us all the time. Say, what's good for Zacchaeus is good for you and me. How do I know that? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. If he's on speaking terms with any old odds and sods, he'll talk to us. Except that you don't think you're an odd and sod, do you? You think you're a bit above that? Okay, listen now. Jesus talks to anybody. Here's my question, gentlemen, ladies, to make sure that you're listening to me. What do you think Jesus' motivation was? Don't answer. See how smart youngsters in this church are. Come on, give us an answer. And don't look to your mummies and your daddies here. Just tell it straight. What was his motivation? Excellent. He cared for him. Getting warmer. Thanks. Now you've just primed the pump. It'll help these oldies. What is Jesus' motivation? That's the words of a man who lives in the natural. Just don't listen to him. Just don't listen to this man. What was his motivation? Who said that? Yes. Did you hear that? Unconditional love. Because Jesus is part of his mission. Why is he on earth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Listen, do I have to persuade you that Jesus loves you? God loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. And loves me. Jesus is motivated by this. I love this man so much, I am going to change his life. And some of you say, no, God can't change my life because my background is so awful and people only knew, my wife does know, my husband does know, my parents, they would never know. I would never tell my best friends because if you want to keep a secret, don't tell anybody. No. Listen, I'm saying, yes, yes, yes. Listen to me. God loves us so much, and Jesus is motivated by an overwhelming desire to bless us and change our lives. It's incredible. And there are people going around, there are Christians going around with heavy burdens because somehow the penny hasn't dropped. Hey, this holy Jesus actually loves me. That is why he's passing by and he stops. It's not that he got a sixth sense. He's a total sense. And looks up, hey, you up there? Nip down, sonny. He's thinking, oh God, this man is seeking me. Bible says, I seek them first. Look at verse 6. I'm going to say a couple of straightforward things here. He comes down immediately. Listen, the word obedience is a dirty word in churches that preach grace. Because churches that preach grace, when I listen to the preachers, they're afraid to use the word obedience in case it sounds legalistic. Obedience is a grace word. In the first four verses of Romans, Paul says, I was called to preach the Gentiles an obedience that comes from faith. Do you remember it? If you don't, read it. Obedience. I mean, there's a brilliant old hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, to trust and obey. It's pure theology. It's pure Bible. You say, I trust God, then obey him. God wants that obedience. It's not, I've got to obey him. Why did I get into this little lot? It's God, I love you so much. The pennies drop. Listen, the word obedience doesn't come into it. It is obedience, but I don't even think about it. Yes? So this is what Zacchaeus does. He comes down immediately. Listen, if God's speaking to you today, do it immediately. Because if you go home, the devil will pick you off. The devil say, actually, you were a bit like emotionally stirred up then. It wasn't quite like that. God didn't quite mean it that way. Listen, when God speaks, say, yes, sir, immediately. And it says this, he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now, I want to make a confession. You'd never believe what I was doing all this week in the afternoons. I was keeping company mostly, other than Monday and Tuesday when Mo was on chemo in Oxford. I was keeping company with my wife in our son's garden because she's looking after the chickens. And when she lets them out, she has to look after them in case the fox gets them. So I have to go and keep her company. So I decide I can't just look at chickens for the next 3 or 4 hours and one haughty cockerel. I decide I'm going to do my son's garden. He's got a huge garden, a long privet hedge, mowing the lawn with my tiny mower. I have to do it 3 times. I'm so annoyed about it. I am so annoyed. And I'm saying to myself, he's on holiday and I'm doing this. And before he was on holiday, he plays cricket every Saturday, and I'm doing this. I think I'm a mug. Then God said, if you're going to do it gladly. I said, God, I just don't want you to talk to me at the moment. Right? Are you with me? Yeah. Listen, do it. See, whatever you do, the Bible says, do it as unto God. You know? Well, do the thing gladly. One of the worst things I'm told that puts people off who are not Christians, they're always encountering miserable Christians. Do it gladly. Zacchaeus comes down from the tree immediately and gladly. Just if you're in misery,
repent of it.
Listen, nobody wants to be with the miseries. That's a very human thing.
So he came down at once, welcomed him gladly. Now, verse 7 is brilliant. Right, guys and girls and the rest of you? Verse 7.
All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." People are an infernal nuisance. Have you found that? If you say yes, you condemn yourself. See, we can be an utter nuisance. Now, can you imagine it? That Jesus is in the process, these people didn't know this, but it's a fact, he's in the process of straightening out a guy's life forever. Yeah. And people are muttering about it. But you know, this was always going on in Jesus' day. Jesus would go to heal the sick, and what did he have to do? He had to say to Peter and one of the apostles, just get him out of here. Do you remember those stories? And when they were out, he prayed for the sick. See, people are always thinking they know better than God. And so people say, what's he doing now? What's Jesus doing now? I know they didn't recognize him as God. They didn't recognize him as the Son of God. That's why ultimately they're going to crucify him. But you know, people are always getting in the way. Here's the application. Don't let people get in your way in your pursuit of God. Just don't let them. And it never relents. I'm sure I've told you the time. When you get old, you tell the same stories. I'm sure I've told you the story. When I was working in the solicitor's office, I give him my notice. The boss says, which firm are you joining? And I said, I'm not joining any firm. I'm going to London to train to be Baptist minister. He just swore at me. He says, you're a bee fool. And then he said, how are you going to live? You can feel the undermining. You think, I'm going to trust God. People are a nuisance. Even my lovely mother was a nuisance. She said, son, you can't afford to be a minister. Why don't you preach at weekends? I said, I'm going to do that. And all the way along the line, somebody said to me in the move of the Spirit in Bracknell, I think you're extreme. If I'd had courage, which I would have today, I'd have said, how do you know anything about extreme? You're just extremely critical. You've never known much about the Holy Spirit. But people come in and talk as if they know. I think you're being extreme, Mr. Davis. There's always people trying to stop you moving on with God. So they're muttering, thank you. He's become spiritual. It's a... you see, these guys, they're just muttering. They're undermining. Doesn't he know he's a sinner? Somebody should have said to them, don't you know you're a sinner? But it never happened. At least it's not in the story. So, by the way, don't be against people who are mutterers. I'm not trying to stir you up. I'm just trying to wise you up. You'll always meet people in life, even your best friends, who'll put a barrier between us and Jesus. Verse 8. Let me read verse 8 to you. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times. Here's the question. What on earth was going on in Zacchaeus when he made that statement? Repentance? Yes, I'll come to that. That's one of them. I'll give you a clue. I got four words begin with R. I've got one, repentance. Pardon? No, it would be remorse, but I haven't got that one. Sorry about that. Pardon? Realization. Now, I'm on a loser here because there's so many R's. I better stop this. The game is over. Let me just, otherwise I'm going to lose this. Cause I don't like saying that people are wrong. So here we are. Number one. What was going on in Zacchaeus? Now listen, this is extremely important for your lifestyle and my lifestyle. Number one, there was a reviving going on in his life. And what was it a reviving of? It was a reviving of his awareness. We would call it conscience. Now, why is it important that I tell you that? Because you're always meeting people saying, people haven't got a conscience these days. They do that. There's no, you know, people go around, we live in a terrible world, you know. Nobody's got a conscience these days. Just don't believe the rubbish. Everybody's got a conscience. The thing is, the conscience is warped, it's half dead, and it's not activated. But when the Spirit of God moves, the thing is a reviving of the conscience. And that's exactly what goes here. Yeah. Number two. There's a responding. His conscience is reviving. Listen, Jesus never said to him, you filthy so-and-so, you greedy so-and-so, you dishonest so-and-so, give your money away. He doesn't. There's a reviving of the conscience. Yeah. And then secondly, there's a responding to the reviving of his conscience. Let me say, if you don't respond to the reviving of your conscience will get harder. Because we don't live on a level playing field. We live on a slope. You're either going up or you're going down. I'm talking about our walk with God. We're either getting softer or we're getting harder. That's why it's important to receive the word of God with gladness and let it operate in our lives, because it softens it up. If we don't, it hardens us up. Thirdly, he's repenting. He's doing a U-turn. He's suddenly clear. I'm a thief. I'm an exploiter of people. I'm utterly wrong. Do you know, at this point, he hasn't even been to a counselor. He hasn't even been to one of these people who say, you know, I'm not against them, but I'm just using this. You know, Zacchaeus, you need to have a little bit more of self-awareness. I tell you, if you want a bit more of self-awareness, let the Spirit do his work in you. Let the word of God do his work in you. You know that's true. What I don't understand, that you're not shouting, cheering, clapping, say, keep preaching it for the next hour. Seriously. Because I'm telling you the most incredible stuff. You know, it's God who can give us an awareness of ourselves. And when we're reading the Bible, and when the Spirit is whispering, and what does the Spirit do? He gives us an awareness so that we're reviving, we're responding. And we think, my God, I was wrong. I repent. I'll think the right way. I do a U-turn. It's called the gospel of grace. It's called the gospel of the love of God. It's called the gospel of revelation. You see, when we read the Bible, for example, it's a book of revelation, meaning it reveals God, it reveals the Spirit, it reveals the Holy Spirit, but it reveals us to ourselves. I thank God that he's constantly reviving my conscience. I'd be a pig if he didn't. So would you. And then, the fourth R, what would you call it? Restitution? He's returning stuff. You see, Jesus still hasn't said, give your money back, it's stolen money. He just knows it is by this time. It's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, people say, was Zacchaeus a Gentile or a Jew? Well, I would argue he's obviously a Jew, because what is stirring in his conscience is the law. The Bible says the law is to lead us to Christ. And the law says, I'm talking about the law in Leviticus, another book. The law says, listen carefully, if you've stolen, pay back four times. If you've stolen a sheep, pay back four times. With another animal, pay back five times. And here, Zacchaeus is saying, look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possession to the poor. Man alive, that is a sign of a revived conscience. If you're greedy, I doubt whether your conscience has been revived enough yet. Towards the poor. He says, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. Jesus could say, who's talking about the poor? Well,
Somebody has talked to me about the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back 4 times the amount. What was going on in him? The knowledge of the law, which he picked up somewhere in his life. And you can say, oh, well, you know, people today, they never read the Bible. They don't have the law. That is totally not true. You don't read the Bible to say a thing like that. In Romans 10, it says they have the law, unbelievers, written on their hearts. Can anything new come out of the story of Zacchaeus? Yes, plenty of it. And so, he's gone through a spiritual revolution. You think what the mutterers were thinking. The guy's gone off his rocker. So Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to your house. Well, of course it has. All Jesus is doing is giving a public affirmation to this guy. He said, today, salvation has come to your house. You've seen that the penny has dropped. You've responded to the revelation. You've revived. You've allowed. You haven't fought your conscience being reactivated. You are saved. I asked a guy once when I was young. I asked a deacon of the Baptist church I joined when I became a Christian, brought up as an Anglican, chased a girl to the Baptist, met God, became a Christian. So I asked this deacon, are you saved? Bit cocky, isn't it? Very. He said, I am saved. I am being saved. No, he said, I have been saved. I am being saved. I will be saved. I looked at him and I thought, you're not saved. Right? But I didn't tell him that. But of course he was saved. Because salvation is, I was saved, I am being saved. It's called maturing. It's called sanctification. I will be saved. It's called when I get to heaven. Today, salvation has come to this house. Because this man, it's the son of Abraham. He's not saying, hey, this man is a Jew, you know, Jews versus Gentiles. The Jews are going to be winners. Oh! He's not saying that. He's saying, you got the faith of Abraham, had faith. Abraham was made righteous because he believed God. Hey, Abraham, I know you're old and your old woman is old, but you're going to have a baby. Oh, well, he didn't say that. He goes, But his wife goes, Hey, you laugh. No, I didn't laugh. But Abraham and Sarah believed God. Yeah. Walk by faith, not sight. Don't do it for me, Lord. And then finally, you're very slow. I'm thinking about it. Just don't do it for me, God. I couldn't cope with that. Today's salvation has come to this house because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Because what Jesus is saying then is this. He's just saying this, you know. I'm just reading into this. He's saying, I'm reading into the first bit. You think this is amazing what's happened to Zacchaeus? You think, cool, look at this man. You know, you think he's the center of attention. He's spoiling his pinstripe trousers. You think, you know. Well, I want to tell you. What I know, at this moment, I am fulfilling my mission. I came. For Jesus came to seek and save the lost. You have a brilliant heart to see people you play football with saved, right? This is so applicable to you. Just believe God's working on them already. You know, and just believe this. It is God's mission, even bigger than your desire to seek and save the lost. Exciting stuff? Is anybody here not saved? Say, don't call me out, Ben. I'm not calling you out, I'm just saying respond. I don't have to call you out. Just come down from your tree. Well, I'm high up. Jump, he'll catch you. Well, what do the neighbors think? Forget them. They've got their own problems with God. And maybe some of you have picked up other things. Because, you know, when you look at the Bible, and when a man preaches, he preaches on one theme, and the Holy Spirit talks to us on a whole load of themes. You're such a good listener, Mike. I'm telling that because I know you're not shouting out, but you are nodding approval. I think you're nodding approval. I'm going to turn the meeting back over to this man, but please look at me for one last time. Not because I'm going to die, but one last time this morning. You're going to be careful with word usage and order of words in sentences. Look at me, please. God bless you. God bless you with faith. God bless you with empowering of the Holy Spirit. God bless you with insights. God bless you with courage. God bless you with a sensitive conscience. God bless you with a knowledge of God's word. God bless you. Day after day after day. For Jesus' sake, because he's the center of the peace.